Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. Anybody else? I gave you a few minutes to think about it. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Brother Kevin? April 10th, 1986. Praise the Lord. That's good. Anybody else? Heaven came down, glory filled my soul. Whoa, wonderful. That's great. We're glad of that. Write it down in your Bible. Brother Ricky?
I got converted in March of 2001. I was already an old man then.
Amen.
But I didn't get baptized till May the 8th, so I kind of claim May the 8th as my birthday, too.
So amen. Keep it easy to keep track of it. Amen. That's good. March 28th. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. Main thing is that we know that heaven came down, glory filled our soul. Proverbs chapter 3. Stand with me tonight as we honor God's word. We'll read the first 10 verses tonight. Many of these are familiar to you. Bible says in verse number 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let me go ahead and read the next few verses. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for the blessedness of your word. We pray now that it may be a lamp to our feet and a light unto our paths. Lord, may we take your word tonight and hide it in our heart that we'll not sin against thee. Lord, that it will convince us and convict us and correct us, Lord, in the areas where we need, Lord, correcting. Father, may it be everything that we need tonight. May it be milk to those that need milk and meat to those that need meat. But Lord, may it be strength for us, we pray, as we strive to serve you and as we think on these thoughts tonight. Bless it all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. As I shared with you this morning, I'd like to bring a message entitled, The Steps to Spiritual Success. We all want to be successful in any adventures that we are involved in. We want to be a success in it. We want to be a success in our jobs. We want to be success in our education. We want success in our marriages and in our home life. We want success in the ministry and in the church and all of those areas. Certainly, we look for success. Know this about success. Success is not based upon our physical accomplishments. It's not based upon our physical accomplishments. Now, a lot of people would look at, say, a small church like ours, and they'd say, you know, not a very successful ministry. But I beg to differ with them. That success is not based on physical accomplishments. We look at and you've heard me preach on this numerous times and make reference to it so on a number of occasions, but the Bible gives us in Matthew chapter 25 the parable of the talents. We know the story there that the master of the house, he issues there or gives out the talents to his servants. To one he gives five, to another he gives two, and to another he gives one. We know the response there, that they all went out, they labored, they worked, and the one that had the five talents brought another five back, and he had 10 talents. The other that had two, he had he came back, brought two others, doubled them, but the reward was the same. You remember the reward was, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But the one, of course, we know that had the one talent, he feared the Lord and feared the outcome, feared losing that talent. And so what did he do? He did nothing with it other than went and hid that talent in the earth. And as a result of it, the Lord rebuked him for his lack of enthusiasm, for his lack of ambition, for his lack of faith, and the Lord rebuked him for it. Thou wicked and slothful servant, the Lord said unto him. But so I liken the parable of the talents tonight to this, to churches, to ministry. Not all churches are 10-talent churches. Not all churches are 4-talent churches. Some talents are 10-talent churches. Some churches are 4-talent churches. But some churches are 1-talent. There was nothing wrong with the one that had the 1-talent. If he would have gone out and he would have faithfully used that. That is the key to spiritual success, is being faithful in any endeavor that we do. Faithfulness, that is the key. When the Lord comes, the Bible said, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find someone faithful? The Bible asks the question, a faithful man, who can find? Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. That is one of the keys to spiritual success, is being faithful. I remember an illustration that I heard many years ago, and I've shared this before. I'm kind of like Brother Pollard. You can't go somewhere for years or be somewhere for years that you don't hear the same illustrations over and over again sometimes. Here I've been in the church over 27 years now, and no doubt you've heard sermons the same before. You've heard illustrations the same before, but yet they carry meaning to them. But this illustration was a simple one about this one that the individual told the Lord, or the Lord told the individual to go out and to push on this rock. And this individual did that. Day one passed, and he faithfully pushed on that rock. Day two, he faithfully pushed on that rock. Days turned into weeks. Weeks turned into months. Months turned into years. And finally, the fella, he had pushed on this for years. And eventually, he gave up and he quit. He gave up and he quit. And when the Lord came and addressed the issue of him giving up, he said, Lord, he said, for weeks and months and years, I have pushed upon this rock and I have not moved it one inch. And the Lord's response was, I never ask you to move it. I ask you to push it. To push on it. To put pressure against it. That's all the Lord asks us to do. And the key to spiritual success is being faithful to any endeavor that the Lord puts in our hands. The Bible reminds us, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is much. How can God entrust a great number or great wealth or great anything into the hands of somebody that is not faithful with the small things that they have? That's why I've said many times before, you know, people get get the glamour eye when it comes to ministry, when it comes to missions. And you know, they hear a missionary come in and he tells the wonderful story of people being saved and building a great work and a great ministry. And you go to places that have great numbers of people and people get the glamour eye with it. And boy, they're all excited, you know, about it. But they don't see the other side of those ministries. They always see the big, the bright, the glamorous. Not all successful ministries are big. Not all successful ministries are glamorous. Not all successful ministries are wonderfully prosperous. It's one thing that we've got to look at, and the Bible teaches us that. Psalms 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. For what? The Lord upholdeth him with his hands." Let me say tonight that there is no guarantee in life, no guarantee whatsoever in life, that we are not going to stumble and fall. But because we stumble and fall, does that mean, or even if we fail, does that mean that we are unsuccessful? Psalm 73, verse 2 says this, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Yes, there will be times when we stumble and fall. Yes, there will be times that we slip and do things that we ought not to do. But God wants us to be successfully, spiritually, in everything that we do. Joshua chapter 1. The only time the word success or successful is mentioned in the Bible is found in Joshua chapter 1. Verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." Now remember this, Moses had just died. The Bible says that, Joshua chapter 1, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua is now taking the ranks, the leadership over the nation of Israel. Joshua has been the second man. Now remember, as J.R. Faulkner used to say, with God, there are no second men. Amen? Every man, every servant of God is a first man, even though he may play the second role as an associate pastor or something of that nature, that God has a purpose and a plan for every life. But he reminds Joshua here to be only strong and very courageous, and then he says that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. He said, "Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let me say, the Word of God plays a vital role in our spiritual success. The Word of God plays a vital role in any kind of success in life. If it is physical success, the Word of God plays a vital role. But most definitely, our spiritual side is successful only when we obey the Word of God, when we do according to all the law of God. Now in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon gives us 7 steps I want to look at tonight to spiritual success. Notice in verse number 1, Joshua says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." What I say there is don't forget or forsake the law of God. You get that? Don't forget or forsake, that means to turn our back on the Word of God. Man, that is the key to spiritual success. I just read that in Joshua. Notice once again, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only if we want to succeed spiritually. If we want to be at the height of our game spiritually, the Word of God is something that must take the forefront. It must take the preeminence in our life. God's Word must find a good ground to rest upon that. Don't forget or forsake the law of God. Now notice, in these instances here, there's always an outcome. Notice what we see the outcome to that one that doesn't forget or forsake the law of God. The outcome is this: length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And in that's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God, spiritual success to that one that doesn't forsake or forgets the law of God. The second thing that we see tonight, the second step to spiritual success, is found in verse number 3. It says here, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the tables of thine heart." And here we say that we need to make the Bible the focus of every day. Now I realize that some have dusty Bibles. Some have dusty Bibles. About every Saturday night or early Sunday morning, you have to dust that Bible off because it's been sitting on the shelf, or it's been in the back seat of your car, or as I've seen many times before, back up in the back window, roasting in the sun. But it hasn't been being used. Now realize this, you may be like I am. I've got Bibles everywhere I go. You go back here in my church office, you're going to find this Bible on my desk. I do reading back there, I do studying, and I preach from this Bible. But everywhere I go, I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible. And the good thing about it now, with cell phones, you've got that cell phone with you in your hand, you've always got access to the Bible. But the Bible should be the focus of every day of our lives. Psalms 119 verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what a light unto my path." In other words, it lights our life and it guides our pathway in life. We wonder why we stumble and fall in darkness. It's because we're not walking in the light of God's Word. God's Word will illuminate every step that we take. Every decision that we make, God's Word will illuminate these things in our life and help us to be successful from a spiritual standpoint. In Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says there and reminds us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what does he do? He meditates both day and night." The Bible said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth her fruit in due season. And what does it say? It'll never wither. It will never wither. It'll be a success. And folks, we will be a success if we make the focus of the Bible part of our everyday life and walk. We obey God's Word, we live God's Word, and we share the Word of God. The third step we find is found in verse number 5. And that is that we must possess an unwavering faith in God. An unwavering faith in God. Notice in verse 5 the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord." Does it stop right there? Absolutely not. It says, "Trust in the Lord with what? With all thine heart." That means with every ounce of energy and capability that we have in this mortal being, that we're to have faith in God. We're to trust God. Just like Job said in Job chapter 15 and verse number 13, after going through all the troubles and trials that Job experienced, Job said, "Lord, though he slay me, yet will I do what? Yet will I trust in him." Job was saying, even if God is, look at all these things that's transpired in my life. Look at all the troubles that I have faced. Well, yet I'm going to trust God. Even if God wipes me off of the face of the earth, I'm going to continue to trust God with all my heart. That is spiritual success. When we possess an unwavering faith. That's why James was able to say there that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. What did he say? But let him ask in faith, not what? Not wavering. Think about the great faith of Abraham. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 20, the Bible says there that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, and knowing that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Abraham found his name on the pages of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, for those very acts. When God told him in Genesis chapter 12 to get up out of his country, away from his kindred, to a land in which he would show him. What did Abraham do? Abraham didn't argue with him. Abraham didn't debate the situation with him. Abraham, by faith, packed his bags. He pulled up his tent stakes and he set sail wherever God would lead and direct him. When he stood there at the base of Mount Moriah and God had told him to carry Isaac, his son, his only son, up onto the mountain there and to offer him as a burnt offering, what did Abraham do? Abraham did exactly what God had told him to do, to the very point where Abraham rose with a knife to plunge it into the heart of Isaac. And what was the angel of God stayed the hand of Abraham. He saw that Abraham was faithful. And that's what I'm saying tonight. He possessed an unwavering faith. If you and I are gonna be spiritual successes for God, then we too must possess that unwavering faith. The fourth step that we look at tonight is this: recognizing God's purpose and His plan for our lives. Notice in verse 6, the Bible said, in all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge Him. Praise be unto God. You know what that means? That means give God the credit that is due His name. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Do you realize tonight I wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for the Lord? Do you realize tonight I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for the Lord? Do you realize tonight I wouldn't be standing and breathing if it wasn't for the Lord? Do you realize tonight I wouldn't live in the home that I have if it wasn't for the Lord? I wouldn't drive the cars that I have if it wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't have the home that I have. I wouldn't have the family that I have if it wasn't for the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, I'm nothing without the Lord. I'm nothing. If there are any horns to be tooted, there's any flags to be waved, I want to toot the Lord's horn and I want to wave the Lord's flag and honor Him for what He's done. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. When you do that, when you point to God and give Him all the glory, I'm going to tell you that's a sign and a step towards spiritual success. That's God's plan and purpose for your life. Do you realize that we were created by God and for God? And the Bible says that we were created for what? His good pleasure. Amen. When we acknowledge that, you know what? That's spiritual success, folks. That's spiritual success. When we realize that our life is not our own. When we realize that our life belongs to God, we're bought with a price and we're to glorify God in our bodies. When we realize that God has a purpose and plan for our life. That's why Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but do what? Understand what the will of the Lord is. When we understand that, when we acknowledge Him, there's an outcome to it. The Bible said, He shall direct thy path. That's success, isn't it? He gives us direction in life when we possess that unwavering faith and when we recognize God's purpose and plan for our life. We find the fifth thing tonight. The fifth step to spiritual success is found in verse number 7. The Bible says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord." The step to spiritual success is fearing God. Sad to say, we are living in an age and a time when there are very few people that fear God. Now realize this, the fear can have a double meaning there. Now fear, just like the Bible said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Fearful. As Paul writes in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11, "Therefore knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." That's a fear. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 10 that we're not to fear man who is able to kill the body, but rather we are to fear Him. This is a terror. We are to fear Him who is able to do what? To destroy both soul and body in hell. When we know that God has that capability, God, if He so chose, could put every one of us justly and rightly in a devil's hell tonight if He wanted to. I'm glad He doesn't want to, aren't you? I'm glad He loves us in spite of our sin. It's what we deserve, but I'm glad He loves us. I'm going to tell you, that ought to bring fear, a terror, a respect. You know, that's one of the things that Kristen's here tonight. Curtis will tell you the same thing. Now, remember at his graduation thing that we had here at the church years ago, you know, and he was giving thanks for all things. He said, "I thank the Lord for all times my mother whipped me that it didn't hurt." But it was different when Dad whipped, right? What, right, Kristen? It was different. It was different when Dad whipped. Dad whipped to hurt. That's what to get the attention. They respected me for that. They feared me with a terror. A terror. They knew that if they broke the rules, what happened? They got the law. They got the law. That's what happened. They respected me for that. But yet they also had a respect because I believe my children loved me, and they still love me. They still love me. They respect me. That is another type of fear, a holy reverence, a holy type of reverence. And that's something today this world does not know and does not have. Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24 that we are to fear the Lord and to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Psalms 111 verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And Psalms chapter 112, Psalms 112, the Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments." Then he begins to describe how blessed he is. "His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." And he goes on describing how the man that fears God and how blessed and prosperous and how successful this man is. Let me say, if we want to be successful, then we must fear God. We find the sixth step to spiritual success tonight is also found in verse number 7. He said not only there that we are to, in our text there in verse number 7, not only are we to be not to be wise in our own eyes and we're to fear the Lord, but he says, "and depart from evil. We need to do that. We need to live a life above reproach. A life above reproach. We need to depart from evil. Evil does not need to be a part of our lives. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 21, be not overcome with evil, but do what? Overcome evil with good. Depart from evil. As I quoted a moment ago, Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to do what? Is to hate evil. To hate evil. We need to depart from evil, from wrongdoing, from unrighteousness. The Bible tells us there in the book of Psalms 84 and verse number 11, that God is a sun and shield. No good thing will He withhold from them that do what? That walk uprightly. That depart from evil. There is the blessedness of God's promise there. Notice the outcome we find in verse number 8. He says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If we fear God and we depart from evil, God says there, that's a promise of good health. Of good health. Now that may be physical health and it may be spiritual health. I'll tell you tonight, I'd much rather be spiritually healthy than physically healthy, wouldn't you? That's real success. Then we find tonight in verse number 9, the seventh step to spiritual success is honoring the Lord. Verse number 9. The Bible said, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. One of the ways in which we honor God, and I'm not going to elaborate very long about this, but one of the many ways in which we honor God is through our giving. And that's what he's talking about in this verse. If we honor God in our giving, God will honor us with spiritual success. When we honor God, we give God our very best. Remember this, God doesn't accept or acknowledge second best. God only acknowledges our best. Anything besides our very best is a reproach, an abomination to God. We must offer our very best. Our very best. That's what God... Notice in verse number 10, the outcome of honoring God with our substance. He said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses bursting out with new wine. Success. God's blessing over our life. We've seen seven steps to spiritual success. But I want you to see an extra step tonight in closing. And that's found in the next two verses. The next two verses, and that's this, don't be discouraged when God corrects us. Don't be discouraged when God corrects us. Notice in verse number 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Isn't that amazing? What is He saying there? He's saying, don't be discouraged. Don't be distraught. Don't want to give up. Don't want to throw in the towel. Don't grow weary when we find ourselves being chastened to the Lord. Let me say this, that our attitude about God's correction will determine if we get up or if we stay down. Our attitude about God's correction, as I quoted early in the sermon, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, are we going to fall? Yes, at times. Are we going to fail at times? Yes, we're going to. And what will determine whether or not we stay down or whether we get up will be our attitude about God's correction in our life. Sad to say, I've seen people get mad when God chastened them. When God corrected them, when God's scourge came down upon their life, I've seen individuals get bitter and get angry and get mad at God for God's correction in their life. We ought to rejoice at God's correction because He loves us as a father does a son. And it reminds us that we are His. Our attitude about God's correction will determine if you get up or if you stay down. What does God want? God wants us when we stumble and fall. He's there to help us back on our feet again. Notice verse 13 and 14 in closing. Again, he says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. He said, for the merchandise of it, the merchandise of what we've talked about tonight. Notice what he said, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. It's better than it all. Aren't we thankful for that tonight? We're thankful for it tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you will, stand with me tonight. Brother Sean and Kristen are coming. We'll have a closing invitation here. If God's spoken to your heart, we invite you to come tonight. We invite you to come tonight. The altar's open to those that need to. Pray tonight that you've seen those steps to spiritual success. God wants us to walk in. God wants us to follow. God wants us to be obedient. Folks, it begins with the Word of God. The Word of God, and it being a part of our everyday life and our walk with Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for the success that You give us. Lord, we realize tonight it's not in our physical accomplishments, Lord, that we gain that type of success. Lord, it depends on how faithful we've been to You and how obedient we've been to Your Word. Father, if we're doing what You told us to do, and we're faithful in it, and we're diligent in it, Lord, we're going to find reward. We're going to find prosperity, and we're going to find spiritual success. It's not in the numbers. It's not in the crowds. It's not in the sizes. But Lord, it's in our faithfulness. I pray, dear God, that when You come, You find us faithful. Bless now this invitation, Lord. If You've spoken to an individual tonight about any need that they have, I pray, Lord, that they would come. They would do business with You tonight according to Your will and according to Your way. For all that's done, as always, we'll give You the glory and the praise, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. What number, Brother Sean? 106.